chapter 3. We're going to Galatians chapter 3, continuing our study through the book of Galatians. And as Brother Pastor Ben was talking about last week, we saw at the beginning of chapter 3, we saw Paul rebuking these Galatians who had begun in faith. They had trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, but then they had returned to the law and trying to keep the law to make themselves righteous before God. We know there were these false teachers that had come in and had tried to convince them that there were things in the law that were necessary to keeping, that the faith was good, but works needed to be added to it to make them righteous before God. But Paul makes it clear that we are saved by faith, and then it is only through faith that we are made clean by the Lord. And at the beginning of our reading this evening, Paul is going to bring up an important figure in the Jewish religion and in the Christian faith this evening that makes the perfect point to these Galatians. But let's look what Paul says starting in verse 6 of Galatians chapter 3. Verse 6, the Bible says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Faith is the only pathway into the blessings of God. And as I thought about this principle from the scripture, it reminded me of a time when Mallory and I were celebrating our first anniversary. We were still out in California, and we decided we were going to go to Red Lobster. Someone had given us a gift card that we were going to use, but I'm not a big Red Lobster fan. Is there anyone here that really enjoys eating Red Lobster? Is there anyone? It's not me. It's just never been me. I feel like just to eat something that's not gross, you have to pay like $50, and I'm not really into that, just to not eat gross food. So we get into the restaurant. I'm like, okay, this is Mallory's favorite restaurant. She loves it. It's going to be a good time. And then I'm checking my wallet as we're walking into the restaurant, and I realize I don't have the gift card on me. And so I'm already like, oh, no. This is going to be expensive, and I'm not going to like it. But we sit down. We get the menu. I start looking through the menu, and it was my worst fear come true. I'm looking at all the prices, and I'm starting to do the mental math, and I'm like, this is going to hurt the wallet, but we're going to be okay. And the date was a great time. We enjoyed an appetizer, and then the meal, and then the dessert. I grew up in a family that didn't get appetizers, but I married into a family that gets appetizers all the time. Anyone like that? Where you maybe grew up not getting appetizers, but the other side of the family, they're always getting appetizers and desserts with their meal. That's Mallory's family. So we got the appetizer, got the meal, got the dessert, and many, many dollars later, we're walking out of the restaurant, and it was an enjoyable time, but it did hurt the wallet. And I get in the car, and I'm like, okay, I was going to grab a piece of gum from the center console, and I'm digging for this piece, for the stick of gum, and all of a sudden, I feel it. It's the Red Lobster gift card. And I look down, I'm looking in disbelief that the payment was there the entire time. The provision was made, I didn't have to pay for the meal. But the whole time I was stressing and striving, trying to figure out, okay, can I pay for this? And then X, Y, Z is all I was thinking about the entire meal. But God taught me in that moment that the provision was there the whole time. I just wasn't living like it. I didn't know it. And God has already made promises. God has already made provision for us. God has already established how we access his blessings. But instead of living in that reality, we limit ourselves, we stress, we strive, and operate like it's all on us to be good enough for God. But that has never been God's pathway or God's plan of blessing. So I ask us the question tonight, are we missing the blessings of God because we are not living by faith? Because if faith is the pathway to God's blessings, then the question is, are we actually living by faith? Or is it something we say and then forget all about as we go about our week? And in this passage, Paul shows us three ways that faith is meant to operate in our lives this evening. And the first thing we see is faith credited. Faith credited, starting in verse 6, it says, even as Abraham believed God. Again, Abraham was a foundational figure in the Jewish faith. So he's the person that he brings up, and he says, okay, this is the father of your faith. This is a man that all of the Jews would look back to as an example of what they wanted to be. And he tells them about a moment that happens all the way back in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 15, when the Abrahamic covenant was established. And when God talks to Abraham in Genesis 15, there's a few things we need to know. Number one, the law that we know, that as we know it today, doesn't come around for another 400 years. There is no Ten Commandments. There is no law as God is talking to Abraham. Circumcision, a sign of God's people and a part of the law that these false teachers were pushing on these people in these churches in Galatia, that doesn't come around until Genesis chapter 17. So there is no law, there is no sign of God's people in circumcision. There was no presented way to earn God's favor. And there are many people stuck in the world today that they're trying to earn God's favor. They're trying to be good enough, maybe through charity or church attendance or all these things. But we see in this moment, as Paul is taking us back to Genesis 15, there is no presented way of earning God's favor in this moment. And Paul here is trying to help the Galatians realize that even Abraham, the father of the faith of the Jews, when you look at him, he was not saved by the law. Paul even says in his writings in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So he tells them that he's making it clear that the law can show you where you are in the wrong. The law can show you what you're doing wrong, but it can't make it right for you. I've compared the law before to almost a mirror. If I have something in my hair is out of place, or something in my teeth as I'm getting ready, the mirror can show me that something is wrong, but it's not going to take that speck of food out of my teeth. It's not going to fix my hair, and that's what the law did. The law showed the people their need for a savior, that they could never keep the law perfectly. And because of that, the law cannot save us. Abraham was declared righteous before he ever did anything, quote-unquote, religious. He just believed God as God spoke to him. And Abraham receives what we know as the Abrahamic covenant from God, in which he's promised land, seed, and blessing. God promises that he's going to make him a great nation, he's going to make him great descendants, and that he is going to be a blessing to all nations. But there's a few important things to realize in this moment. At this time, Abraham is roughly 75 years old. Abraham has no children. There's no visible evidence that God can keep his promise to Abraham in this moment. And Abraham didn't believe God just when it made sense. He believed God when it seemed impossible. Let me ask you this evening, are you only trusting God when it makes sense to you? Or are you willing to trust him when nothing makes sense? I think we've all had those times in our lives when we look around and all we can say is, Lord, why is this happening to me right now? Will we choose to trust him? God, when he makes another promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, and he promises that Sarah will give birth to a child, Sarah laughs within herself. And notice God's response to what God asked Abraham in Genesis 18 and verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Again, at this time, Sarah is even older than 75 years old. And God asks a question to Abraham that puts everything into perspective. Is there anything that God cannot handle? Is there anything that is outside of God's control? And and Abraham believed God. But now we see Abraham and Sarah were not always perfect. In Genesis chapter 16, we see that Abraham has a child with Sarah's handmaiden, her handmaiden Hagar, and they have a son named Ishmael. And they got ahead of God in that moment. But has there ever been a time that you got ahead of God? When you were waiting for God to open a door, but you got impatient, so you kicked down the door yourself and then regretted it later? Never a time when you were waiting on the Lord, but you just felt as if that day would never come. And Sarah laughs within herself in Genesis 18. And if we're honest, there's a moment in all of our lives in which we can look back and we can say that God did something that we thought was impossible or improbable in that moment. Abraham was not perfect. Abraham struggled in his faith at times. But Abraham grew just like we all do as Christians. Abraham did not earn God's blessing. This was not about a performance before God. And Abraham wasn't perfect in his faith, but he was persistent in it, continually pursuing after God. And every follower of God in Scripture has a failure. You can name people all throughout the Old Testament, whether it's Noah, Moses, Joshua, whoever you will name, they all had failure in their past. They had come short of the glory of God. But God does not ask us for perfection this evening. But what he does ask us for is direction, continually following after him. And we see that's what Abraham did, and God blessed him for it. And our faith is not powerful because of how strong or perfect it is, or how much faith that we show. But our faith is strong because of who it is placed in. Real faith is not aimless and blind, but it is anchored. And we are not called to blindly follow after God, but we're called to trust in his character. The Bible tells us that God cannot lie. The Bible tells us that God loved us so much, he sent his son to die for our sins, that if we'll put our faith solely in the sacrifice of his son, that we can spend an eternity in heaven with him. And we're called to trust in these promises that God has given to us. We're called to follow God's word as it was given to us, just like Abraham did. Look what David tells us about our need for God's word in Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I know we say that for Awanas all the time. It's part of the pledge for our children's program. But if you think about that truth, the word of God, it's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path so that we can see where we are going. God's word is given that we would trust it and apply it to our lives. But if we are separated from the word of God, we are separated from the guidance of our Savior. If we're not in the word of God, if we're not reading what he has written to us, how can we trust ourselves to maneuver through life? See, the answers to life are in this book. They're in the Bible. But if we're not reading it, we're separated from that guidance that we desperately need. But notice the blessing that comes when we trust and take God at his word. Continuing in verse 6. When Abraham trusted, when Abraham believed God, the verse continues, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Accounted here means credited, imputed, or placed on his account. This wasn't something that was earned or deserved by Abraham, but it was credited to him. This is a legal term that carries the thought of instant application. It wasn't something that Abraham gradually earned throughout his life. No, he believed God, and God credited his faith. Someone is not gradually made right with God. No, either you have trusted in His Son, Jesus Christ, or you have not. And what made Abraham righteous in the eyes of God wasn't his pedigree or his platform or becoming good enough over time, but instead what made Abraham righteous before God was his faith and trust in Him. And this is part of Paul's frustration with the Galatians, because they were being told, faith is good, but you also need to be keeping the law. Specifically, they were saying, faith is good, but you need to keep circumcision as a sign of the Jewish people. And so Paul uses the example of Abraham to say, the man you're trying to imitate wasn't saved the way you're trying to be saved. The man you're looking at, the man you're following after as a father of the faith here, not even he was saved the way that you were attempting to live your life. Right. Romans 4:20 says about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed, God, you are able. What you say, you can also perform. You can do it. I know your promises are true. Are we clinging to the promises of our Savior tonight? And if faith is what made Abraham righteous, then we must ask ourselves, what does that same faith make us this evening? And we see a faith that is identified. A faith identifies. In verse 7, it continues, know ye therefore. Paul begins this verse as a command to these churches in Galatia, saying, don't miss this. Therefore is telling them, because of what I just told you in verse 6, that Abraham was seen righteous before God because of his faith. Therefore, the verse continues, that they which are of faith, not those that are under the law, not those that were of Jewish lineage, not those that were the religious elites that seem to know the scripture the best, these people are not included in this next subgrouping. No, it says that they which are of faith, those whose identity is rooted in faith in Jesus Christ. Because faith is not just an action that a Christian does every once in a while. Rather, it is the identifying mark of a Christian. If someone were to look at your life this past week, would the identifying marker be faith? Would they see evidence of faith in your life this week? Or would they see just a daily routine being followed? For Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith isn't just something that we show on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And when we leave the church doors, we leave it behind, and then we live by our own sight, what we can see, what we can make work. No, faith is something that shows up in every aspect of our lives. Faith is seen in the worker that serves with integrity even when nobody else is looking. Faith is seen in someone that is leading a class or discipling someone in the church or speaking up even when it may be uncomfortable. That takes faith. Faith is seen in refusing to compromise integrity for career or social advantage. When we turn away from the ways of the world and instead we keep our eyes on God and His promises, the world sees a faith within us. These are all ways in which our faith is lived on a daily basis. And the scripture says, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And now it's important to realize that this really was a shocking conclusion that Paul is bringing forth to these people. For generations upon generations, the Jewish people were told that they were the people of God. There was no one else that were the people of God. It was the Jewish people. And God does still have a remnant, as Paul clearly talks about in Romans chapter 9 through 11. And Paul is not denying that there are physical descendants, but he is redefining who shares in the promises of Abraham. And instead, it is the children, it is believers in Jesus Christ, the believers in faith. Faith doesn't just save you, although that's the first thing it does. But it doesn't just save you, it places you in the family of God, according to John 1:12. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And as I read that verse this past week, it challenged me. Because I thought of great men of the faith like Abraham, like Moses, like David. And the Bible tells us that we are literally joint heirs with Jesus Christ, God that came down in human flesh. And I looked and said, God enabled them and empowered them to do so many great things. How could I ever doubt my heavenly Father? How could I ever doubt that God is going to bring me through this trial or this situation when God has already done so much in the past? Because when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are in the family of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are sons and daughters of the living God. And if faith identifies us as children of Abraham and children of God, then what do we inherit as his children? Leads us to our third point tonight as we see a faith that secures. Verse 8 says, And the scripture foreseeing. Notice that the scripture is personified here. It's talking about the scripture as if it's a person, as if it is living, because the scripture is living. The Bible is a living book. It's unlike any other book the world has ever known. Notice what Hebrews 4:12 has to say about God's word. It says, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God is alive this evening, and it has been forever. Because the word of God is alive is the reason you can read the Bible through 5, 10, 15, 50 times. And God will give you something new. The Holy Spirit will illuminate another truth to you as you read his word. Because the Bible is alive. The Bible is quick and powerful. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If we're making a decision, if we're looking for guidance from God, we need to be in his word. And the scriptures tell us that God had a plan long before the law. This plan of faith, the plan of sending his son, Jesus Christ, for us was not a reaction, but it was pre-planned. Although many things may surprise us in this life. How many of you just seem to be more and more surprised by people every single week? Just when you think people, well, I'll stop there. But just when you think people can't surprise you anymore, they surprise you again. Hey, we're surprised by many things in this life, but nothing has ever surprised God. Nothing has ever caught him off guard. Nothing has ever snuck up on him. For God knows all. Notice what 1 John 3:20 says, "For if our heart condemn us, if we are down, we feel downtrodden, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." If you feel tired, if you feel worn out this evening, the great news is that God is greater than our heart. He is over our circumstances, and he knows all things. He knows exactly what we're going through this evening. He knows exactly what we'll go through next week and beyond. And despite our fears and concerns, God knows all things. And fears cease when you have confidence in who stands with you. I remember as a small child, we lived in Cleveland, Ohio, and my mom always told me, never go in that back alley, We lived in an apartment building, and there was a back alley that was behind the garages. Really, no one could see it unless you were back there. And I was always afraid to go back there. I was 6, 7 years old. And as I was going to go over there, I needed to get my bike or something was left back in that alley. And I wanted to go, but I was scared. And so I remember running inside and going and getting my dad and say, "Hey, Dad, I need you to go get this bike with me." And he was like, "Why do you need me to go get the bike?" And I said, "Because Mom says there's kidnappers, okay? That's what Mom says. You have to come with me so that we can get the bike." And I remember as my dad walked with me and we went and we got that bike, I didn't feel any fear like I did when I was by myself. Why? Because I had total confidence in my father. I had total confidence that whatever happened, he could handle it. He was in control. And that promise is even more sure in our Heavenly Father. No matter what is going on in our life, whether we can comprehend it or know the next steps or not, God is fully in control and he is able to handle it. And he sent his son to die for you and for me, not reactionary. It's not a New Testament invention, but rather it was part of the unfolding perfect plan of God. The verse continues that God would justify the heathen through faith. This is the shocking pinnacle of Paul's statement to these churches in Galatia, is that God always intended to save everyone. God's heart was that everyone would be saved, that all would come to repentance. And the method has always been the same, faith alone, not in the law, not of works, not in national identity. For the verse continues, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Let me read it in its full context. That God would justify the heathen through faith that was preached before the gospel unto Abraham. And this is huge because the gospel does not start in the book of Matthew. That might be the label that we have in our Bibles, that the gospel start when you get to that book of Matthew. But the gospel began thousands of years earlier as God spoke to Abraham. And he gives him this promise, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Abraham did not just receive a promise from God. Rather, Abraham received a preview of the gospel, of God's plan to reach the world. In verse 9, he continues, "So then, based on everything that I have told you, that Abraham was made righteous before God because of his faith, because faith makes you a part of the family of God. Based on these things that I've told you, they which be of faith, those who live by and have trusted by faith, are blessed with faithful Abraham." It doesn't say that they might be blessed, or maybe someday they'll reach blessing. No, it says they are currently blessed. Not just a future in heaven someday, but a current spiritual reality that as a Christian, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are justified before God. You have a relationship with God. You are seen as a son or a daughter before him. And there is inclusion in his promises, in faithful Abraham. The blessing Abraham received was not based on status, but of his faith. And to anyone that who believes shares in that same blessing. And tonight, we as believers are blessed through the same means and the same promises. And what this means for the believer is we are not striving for the blessings of God. We are not caught up trying to be a good enough person or dotting our I's and crossing our T's, hoping that God will just show us a little bit of blessing. No, if you are a believer, if you have trusted in the Son, God's blessings, that pathway is already opened. So why are we still living like everything depends on us? I'll be completely honest with you. This afternoon, I lived it. Something had come up, and for the next 2 or 3 hours, I was fixated on how do I fix this situation? How do I make sure that everything's okay and everything is all right? And the truth is, I couldn't fix the situation. God was going to have to. But we all fall into that trap all too often, where we feel like it depends on us to make everything right, to get everything straight again. But God promises that He is with us, and the blessings of God are secure in Jesus Christ. And this truth frees us to be secure in God's promises, to know that He has all things under control, to walk by faith and not by sight. Hey, it's not just what I can see, but I know that God is working behind the scenes. He has a greater purpose. It allows us to live with an eternal perspective. This life is not the end. This life is the beginning. And if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you'll have an eternity in heaven. And we're focused on reaching others for Jesus Christ because we want them to know what He has done for us. And these promises are secure not because of who we are, but because of who God is. And God blesses those that walk alongside Him by faith. So the question remains this evening: are we missing the blessings of God because we are not living by faith? There is no substitute for a faith-filled Christian life, because faith is the only pathway into the blessings of God. And this evening, as we study the passage, we saw a faith credited. Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ alone and putting our trust in His sacrifice. We saw that faith identifies. Faith identifies us as believers, as children of God, in a world that is against God. And we saw that faith secures. There is blessing that is freely given to those that are in Jesus Christ, that are in faithful Abraham, as the scripture puts it tonight. From salvation to identity to blessing, everything God gives, He gives through faith. So the just don't just have faith, but it's something that we daily have to choose, and it's something that we daily have to live by. Like I said earlier, it can be so easy for us to try to take control of things and to figure things out. But the truth is, when we let go and when we let God work, that is truly when we begin to see the blessings of God in our lives. Let's close this time of preaching in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for this opportunity to gather around Your word. And Lord, as we saw from the scriptures how all men of all time have been saved by faith. And Lord, You ask us to walk alongside You in faith, Lord, trusting and believing that You are able because You are, Father. And Lord, You tell us that there are blessings secure in the faith in which we have in You, Lord, not because of who we are, but because of who You are, Lord. And Lord, we thank You for Your word. We pray that You would help us to apply it to our lives, to live by faith, to live trusting You, that we would experience Your blessings this week. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.